Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We had certainly had a wonderful time here last night in the Lord. And let's just focus on worship this morning and see if we can put everything we got into it. Amen. Let's sing that again as we're standing and just worship the Lord this morning. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for Him. Amen.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Oh, You
seated for just a few minutes here, and we're going to go over the prayer request. I'm going to go ahead and use this mic here. I want to remember Brother Louie in prayer. He's talked to me a few minutes out there, and he's quite sick, and so we want to remember him in prayer. Brother Jimmy, if you get ready to pray for us this morning after we read our prayer requests. We have here, please pray for Mrs. Dora Clark. She's 78 years old and is having a hernia operation Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. at Johnson City Medical Center. This is from Brother Jerry Glenn. Bill Yance requests to be on our prayer list. He has had a debilitating cough since last fall, unable to sleep over 4 hours in months. Thank you. This is from Brother Jack Yance. Please pray for Brother Ben Gould. He has an important test Tuesday. Sister Grace Curtis is sick this morning and unable to be. Sister Grace Carter, is sick this morning and unable to be in the church. This is as a praise request. First of all, I want to praise God. I put in a prayer request for an unspoken prayer, and the tests all returned negative. Have another special unspoken prayer request. Would like the saints to pray with me. And my cousin Connie Brown told me she has breast cancer. She asked us to remember her. Thanks and God bless. This is from Brother Barry English. I wish to thank you all for your prayers and cards during the death of my sister. God bless you all. From Brother Baker. Remember Elijah Cross. He's had a fall and has a fracture on the back of his skull. He's in the hospital. I have an unspoken prayer request and like the church to help me pray about. From Sister Teresa White. Please continue to pray for Brother Monroe Greeley, is in the hospital. This is Brother Carter. I hope I get these names right, but anyway, the Lord knows all about it. Pray for Madeline Carter back in the hospital. This is my friend in Ohio, Rose Ballard, is having a 5 bypass surgery on her heart Tuesday, and I pray that she will come through it fine. She has shortness of breath, would just hold about needing surgery. I told her I would request prayer. Another prayer request here from a close friend, believing friend. There are so many needs. Just be thankful that we have a prayer answering God. I have a prayer request that maybe we could put forward to all the prayer warriors for me. It's my nephew, Alan Gerling, 43, one of Shirley's sons. We've just heard that he has cancer and that they are starting chemo soon. He's married with 2 teenage sons. Thanks very much, Sister Jackie. Please pray for Sister Sarah Codner. She has pneumonia. She appreciates your prayers. God bless. Sister Peterman. Kindly request prayer for a big exam that my husband will be undertaking tomorrow, Friday the 16th. Thanks so much. May God bless you. This is, says Sister Ruth. My brother is going through some rough trials. Could the church please say a prayer for him? Thank you, and God richly bless you. Amen. Let's all stand this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jimmy, would you come this morning? Maybe you have a few more. I want to continue to remember Sister Natalie.
Let's bow our heads, please. Father, once again today, we come with grateful hearts. We come with thanksgiving upon our lips, Lord, giving you praise to the Almighty One who has conquered everything that needs to be conquered in our life. We pray for these many requests today, God. I just noticed how many that had to be read over the pulpit this morning. Sum up, Lord, unless you intervene, their life will not be long here on earth. And if it depended upon us, Lord, we would feel so helpless. But we're grateful today that it is not us, it is you. The same one, Lord, that gave his life on Calvary, took a trip to the deepest pits of hell, knocked on the door and took the key away from our enemy. You're here this morning, the same God. We give you praise and thanks for that today. And in you, we have all of our confidence. And we pray that you'll move upon every home, every family, every life, every individual that's standing here today, every family that's represented here today. I know that there are needs in every home and every life. And may you intervene, God, and help us with your great wisdom, with your love, with your care, your correction, everything that you are, Lord. We desire to have that in our life. We just ask that you would touch each and every life by your grace and mercy. May you be with us this morning in the preaching of the word. May you help Brother David to get out of the way. May you help each of us to get out of the way, that we may receive from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. If you just remain standing, maybe the brothers would come and receive the offering this morning. I'd like to sing together an old song this morning. We have a announcement here, a car that needs to be moved. It's McMinn County license, I guess, 991-5S3. Doesn't give a make or model, but we, if you think that's your car, we need to get it moved. Amen? I'm going to try to use this other mic, brothers. Let's sing an old song together, if they can find it there this morning, When the Redeemed Are Gathering In. I think the first verse is, I'm thinking of the rapture. Amen. Yeah, let's try it. Yeah. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Isn't it the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, having no burdens to bear, take up the offering? We did. Well, that's good. Getting old is exciting. We'll sing another verse to this, and Brother David Swanson has a song for us. I don't know if he knows it or not, but he has a song for us this morning. So we'll sing another verse of this as Brother David comes to sing for us. There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? And sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to bear, joyously singing, our bells all ringing, won't it be
Jesus. Let's see if we can get what a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. Everything. in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is the trouble
that, Brother David. I'm going to have Brother Harry sing for us just as we change the order of the service this morning. I asked Brother David Seiler to come and minister for us. You enjoy that last night, Armed and Dangerous. I thought that was just a masterpiece. Amen.
There's a little chorus, a couple of verses in a chorus goes this song. We sing the chorus all the time, but Brother David's singing that song, the song we sang a while ago about Jesus is not ashamed to call us a brother. There have been times, I'm sure, that my earthly family has been ashamed to call me their brother. But I'm glad that I've got a heavenly brother representative that's not ashamed to call me his brother. And he took my sins. Not only did he stand with me, he took my sins. They tell me Jesus died for my transgressions, and that he paid that price a long, long time ago. And on a hill called Calvary, he gave his life for me. But there's something else that I
would like to know, does he still feel the nails every time I fail? I crucified you, Jesus, with my sins. Am I causing him pain? Then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him. For he is holy. His precious grace so carelessly. Each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony he felt on that tree? Does he still feel the nails every time? Proud cry to crucify again. Am I causing him pain? I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him. For he is
God has a holy people because his word has made you that way. His rich grace, his rich mercy that he give to you. Amen. Nothing you've done, not by your works, not by your abilities. It's all because of grace this morning. Amen. I'd like to go to the book of 2 Samuel this morning, chapter 9. Certainly appreciate all the wonderful singing and playing this morning. Trust you've come to receive something from the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll start at verse 1. I have to say it's a privilege for us to be able to be here with you this weekend, to finally have a weekend here at home. It's a blessing to us, so certainly trust something we said this morning to help you, encourage you. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness? The word kindness means grace. That I may show him grace for Jonathan's sake. And there was a house of Saul, a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, is in the house of Micher, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micher, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, which means he had representation. I will show thee grace for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Ziba said unto the king, according to all my lord, the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I would like to use that this morning and speak on this little thought. The day grace became amazing. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts. Lord, I just noticed the way even the songs has went this morning. The Spirit, Lord, just moving in a certain direction. Lord, as our brother sang the special there, Lord, and then Brother Harry sing about what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, this morning that, Lord, our hearts would just be in rhythm and in tune with what you have to say to us. Lord, I feel so pressed, Lord, to go this direction, knowing, Lord, no doubt this has been preached on a million times. But Lord, we come to receive something, Lord, that you can take and make it so fresh to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would use it for your benefit, Lord. Help us to recognize how much you love us, how much you care, the grace that you've given unto us. Father, we just surrender ourselves to you this morning. I pray, Lord, and we trust, Lord, by the preaching of the word, may every sick body that's sick this morning, may they be made well. We pray, Lord, may we as a body of believers, may we run the enemy from the building this morning. I pray, God, may your spirit have liberty among us as we yield ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated this morning. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. We understand scripturally, prophetically, we understand that we are living in the fulfillment of every scripture in the Bible. We are living in the anti-type of every type that has been given to us through the Old Testament, even into the New, the parables that Jesus spoke of. And we understand that every type of the scripture must come to manifestation in this hour, for there is no other age that is to come outside of our day. There is no 8-day messenger. There is no new day that's coming outside the millennium reign for the believer. We are the finishing of all the story of redemption today. And we believe that this is the greatest time that God has given us to be able to live in. Brother Ram said how wonderful it would have been to live in the days of Jesus. But he said, if I could have chose, I would have chose this day to live in. And we understand that Brigham tells us in the Unveiling of God, 1964, he said, you see, every parable in the Bible, every type of the Bible is made manifest right here before us. The same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, is right here manifesting it, showing just exactly what it was, and interpreting it right back to make sure that it's the interpretation. So every example of the Old Testament and the New Testament is brought to light in the day that we are living in. We look and we read about the tares and we read about the wheat and we find that they was both planted together by two different sowers and they grow together for a certain time. But we realize that you and I are living in the time that that parable has come to manifestation. And we realize that parable has actually took on flesh. That word has took on a body. Hallelujah. And we look and we read about all the different types. We read about Ruth and Boaz and how that Ruth was there in Boaz's field and began to pick up those handfuls on purpose that was left for her. And we are living in that time because God has given us this great message on purpose today. And how that Boaz has introduced himself to us. And we have been married to Boaz in this day. We're living in that type. We find the type of Eliezer. How that Eliezer went to find a bride for Isaac. And how that we're living in that fulfillment. Right in the light of it. Because in every age there was always a fulfillment of the word. But yet in this day it's a fulfillment of all the words. And we are not looking for something better to come. We are it today. God don't have 50 more generations to come. We are it this morning. You are what He is depending on. We are the climax, the finishing, the paramount of all the Scripture. Rest is upon you this morning. Amen. We realize that we are only living in the final manifestation of the Word in this day. And Brother told us that the one who wrote the book, He is here present revealing that book to us. Amen. You believe that? And we know that we can see by even scriptural types that God has showed us that we would be lost, but then we would be found. And you realize that even in the story of how that all the way through the book of the Bible, every book was a symbolic type of redemption, how that God was going to find you and how that God would come looking for you. Even from the beginning when man would fall, even from the garden, and how that man would fall and be lost from the presence of God, and how that Adam would hide himself and make himself his own covering, his own religion, and how that God would come down into the garden. Adam wasn't trying to find God. Adam wasn't searching for God. God was searching for Adam. Not that He didn't know where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. And He began to call out, Adam, where art thou? Showing that God was giving Adam a space of grace. A space of repentance. An opportunity to make things right as He went looking for Adam in the garden. And let me tell you, God found Adam. God knew where Adam was. God was looking for Adam, but God knew where Adam was. Friend, that's a time of grace in this hour. You believe that? Oh my, even again we see that how that God, once he is there in front of Adam, He goes over to heal Brother M. Sith and He kills the lamb and He takes those skins and He comes back and He wraps up Adam and Eve in those bloody skins. And Brother M. Sith, that was a type of Calvary. And we're living in the anti-type of what happened in the garden. Hallelujah. You realize, even when it come to Abraham, God knew that Abraham did not have the ability to keep the covenant. Adam, you realize, was a man, and he failed his covenant. But when it comes to Abraham's covenant, God was not going to base this covenant upon the ability of man to keep the words. It was a grace covenant. Brother, it was all because of grace this morning. God told Abraham, it's not going to be by your works. It's not going to be how good you can pray or how much you're able to serve me. But I'm going to swear by my own self. Brother, that's grace to me. And you and I are the seed of Abraham this morning. And we have a grace covenant that's been given to us. It's not based upon the merits of your works. It ain't how much you pray, how much you study, how much you read your Bible. It's all because of grace. We see that David in the Old Testament, David was a type of Jesus Christ. And we know even that David didn't even realize it himself. what he was portraying and what he was typing, he didn't even know. But he thought he was just a man like you're a man, but he didn't realize it. But he was actually acting out the life of Christ. Pharaoh says it like this in Revelation, Jesus Christ, when David was rejected as a king, he went up over the hill, Mount Olives, looking back, weeping as a rejected king. And a few hundred years after that, the son of David, hallelujah, he climbed that same hill as a rejected king and wept over it, Jerusalem, and the Spirit in type and form. Again, Christ the mystery, all those things typed him. It was just a type, but yet the mystery was hid. The men didn't even know what they were doing. They only knew they were led by the Spirit to do something. David at this time in the scripture, David was, and you gotta see Christ, David was coming into power. And David was getting ready to be crowned king of all of Israel. And how that here is God moving Saul out, but yet he's moving David in. And God is always progressive. God is always in action. God is always doing something. Because when one thing was coming to an end, God already had something ready to take its place. When John the Baptist was going out, Jesus was coming in. When Jesus had died and sent up on high and resurrected, he sent the Holy Ghost back. When one thing was going out, God had something coming in. You realize Satan wants to build monuments where God wants movements at. He wants us to stop and stand still and wait until you realize God's word's always moving, always progressing. Saul was on his way out and David was on his way in. And how that David, oh my, has it come to a change of administration from Saul to David, as if any king does not want to lose his place. Doesn't want to lose his place of power and might. David had been fighting and David had been overcoming. Come on, somebody. David's the type of Christ. He'd been fighting, but yet he'd been overcoming. Let me tell you, David was God's anointed. Brother, the Philistines didn't even know they would never be able to kill David. I don't care what the war was, they could not touch David. David was God's anointed. David was God's man. David was elected to be king, and nobody could destroy David. David was an invincible army. He could not die. For the scripture had already prophesied what David would become and what David would do. And oh my friends, there was no way David could lose. Hallelujah. I said David can't lose. Now notice, he was anointed to overcome. He was anointed to win. He was anointed to win the victory. And you realize there was nothing going to be able to stop it. No weapon brought against David could overcome him. No sword, no spear, no weapon, no devil, no demon, no ill, no darkness could overcome David. Hallelujah. David overcomes. And after David overcomes, David takes his throne. Because that's what the overcomer does. Once he overcomes, he's invited to take the throne. Preach with me a minute. Once the overcoming is done, then the throne is there available for him that overcomes. Now, David, being an overcomer, we realize why he has overcome the enemy. He's sitting on the throne. He's anointed king. He's God's chosen. Hallelujah. He begins as the kingdom, after a while, begins to kind of calm down and become used to the fact that David has overcome and David has took his throne. And David one day, while sitting on his throne, begins to think back of all the things that had happened to him on his road to be able to get there. And David begins to think of all the things that has happened, and oh my, how much blood had been shed, and how the battle was fought, and how he'd overcome the men that had fell by the tip of his sword. Then David begins to recollect on how he achieved this place, knowing that Saul had to fall in order for David to take over. While he is there thinking upon this, somewhere within the mind of David, hallelujah, David begins to recall some conversation he had had with Jonathan. Glory to God. Just so happened to be, he begins to recall a covenant he had made. He begins to recall a conversation he had with Jonathan. And he told Jonathan, and Jonathan told him, that we will take care of each other. If one should fall, we'll take care of their families. It was a covenant they made one with another. And David begins to remember the covenant he had made concerning Jonathan. I'm going to say that again. David remembered his covenant. Hallelujah. Now, we realize that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in the battle of Jezreel. And we know that as they was killed in the battle, and Jonathan being killed, and Saul, oh my, taking it so hard, realizing he was on his way out, and Saul couldn't hardly take it, what had happened to him. But remember, Saul backslid. God needed somebody anointed to be able to take the throne. And in the middle of all this chaos, of this battle, something begins to happen. As now, this battle of Jezreel, such an unbelievable war, as Saul comes across Jonathan and finds his son has been killed. Saul, oh my, next. Saul has now become dead. No doubt they see the body of Jonathan. They see the body of Saul. And as with any kingdom, when another king comes in to take over, it's always been law that you take the descendants of the former king and every one of their children, their offspring, their progeny, every one of them would be killed because the next king in line would not want anybody to raise up that would be a threat against the next administration. Because the king wouldn't want nobody to come in that could pose a threat to be able to overcome the king and overcome the crown that had already been established. And the word began to spread through Israel that Saul has been killed. He's dead. While the words begin to carry, finally word had made it back to the palace. There was Jonathan's family, Jonathan's son, 5 years old, just a small child. This boy's name is Mephibosheth. Being so young, he had a woman, a nurse, the Bible calls her, watching over young little Mephibosheth. And her knowing the tradition of what a king would do once he overcomes and takes his throne, knowing what could happen and knowing the responsibility that she has, that she's been given to watch over the king's son, and how that this boy would one day take the throne, she recognized there's responsibility there. And knowing that this boy could be killed, she raises up in haste and begins to grab this boy as he's playing. And she grabs him up to hurry, to take him to a place of safety, to take him to a place he can't be hurt, take him to a place that nobody can get to him. And why she got in a hurry, she grabs this boy up, and this young boy falls. And it was a horrible accident. Most of the time, we get right back up, dust ourselves off, and go right on. But something horrible happened! Something horrific has taken place. This boy fell down. And when he did, his feet from that day forth would always be crippled. I'm going to say it like this. Because of a woman getting in a hurry, this boy became lame. Come on, somebody. Because of a woman that got too much in a hurry, she could not wait. This boy that would have been king become crippled. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but because of the fall, we have all become crippled. We wasn't always this way. He wasn't always that way. Oh no, the scripture said, one time as the sons of God, you shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. You wasn't always this way. The Bible said you danced. But because of a woman, the whole human race become crippled. This boy had remained hidden for all these church ages. I mean, all this time. He had been hidden, secure. Nobody knew where he was. But one person that had his eye on him at all times. Lord of God. David sitting on the throne one day. Something began to move upon David. And David begins to remember a covenant he had made concerning the former administration. Remember, David's the top of Christ. David began to remember, I have made a covenant. And a king's word, where a king's word is, there is power. And my word I give to this family. My word I give to Jonathan. That if something should happen, we would watch over their families. David has no hidden agendas. David doesn't plan on wanting to annihilate. David so loved, oh God. I'm going to say it again. David so loved Jonathan. He give him this covenant. David type in Christ. Remember, as he begins to remember his covenant, David begins to call for the servant of Saul. As Saul had a faithful servant that had stood beside him and had been there over the affairs of Saul all them years, and how that as David begins to remember this covenant, David begins to call into the throne room, Ziba, to inquire, is there anybody left? The Bible says it like this, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show grace, the grace of God unto him? And the servant answers and says, yes, there's one left. But let me tell you, he's a long ways from Jerusalem. He's a long ways from where he's supposed to be. Yeah, he's in a far country, a long ways from your throne, dear majesty. Jerusalem means peace. Jerusalem means from above. From above. He's a long ways from where he really belongs at. Jerusalem means a city of peace. Brother, sister, Jerusalem's a special place. You understand? Jerusalem is where the anointed lives at. Jerusalem is where the food comes from. Jerusalem is where the water comes from. Jerusalem is where you find safety and peace and rest. Not something you merit, not something you work up and do, but Jerusalem represents grace. Jerusalem represents righteousness. Jerusalem represents mercy. And Mephibosheth was living a long ways from peace. David asked us this question, where is he? Where is he? David would have never have recalled Mephibosheth had this boy not had representation from somewhere else.
Notice, Mephibosheth is to a place where he hasn't witnessed mercy. Notice, as we see it, he started in the throne room. Mephibosheth ran the halls and the courts of the palace. But he's not there anymore. And I'll tell you, catch this, oh my. Notice where this grace started at, in the throne room. And Mephibosheth, he didn't go looking for the king. But the king went looking for him. Hallelujah! And just like Mephibosheth before, you realize we are aware at one time we was not always in this condition. We wasn't always like this. At one time, we was a part of the throne. One time, we was identified in the throne room with Almighty God. And the king went looking for him. Brother, it's all because of grace. You realize before we ever become even aware of grace, grace had already begun to seek you out. Mephibosheth didn't know about grace. He didn't know about mercy. He didn't know about all these things. He did it one time. But brother, before he even had idea who he was, grace began to look for him. The Bible says, and the king said unto him, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show grace of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son. But let me tell you, O king, he's not normal. He don't have everything. He don't have all of his I's dotted and his T's crossed. He's got some real problems down there. Come on, somebody. And the king said, where is he? I want you to notice, just because he was lame, the king did not stop looking for Mephibosheth. Just because he had problems, the king did not stop looking for this boy. Just because you got problems, you didn't scare God off. The king said, where is he? Your besetting sins, your trials, the things you go through, does not scare the grace of God off. Our king says, where is he? God ain't scared of your habits. God ain't scared of a drug addict's habits. He's not scared of a drunkard's habits. Hallelujah. Where you at? I'm not where I need to be. Hallelujah. And the king says, where is he? He knew this boy had some crippled spots, but he went looking for him anyway. Brother Grace come looking for us. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he sought us out. Brother, what it should mean to us this morning to know that the king sought you out, and to think that you're sitting on these pews this morning, you're just simply here just because. I got news for you. The king sought you out. You're not here by your own works. You're not here because you thought you'd come to church. The king's work has sought you out. How is it the word got to you and it bypassed generations of your family? You might be the only one that believes this message. You might be the only one that believes what God has done in this day. You may be the only person, but let me tell you, the king said, where is he? Everybody else in your family might think you're crazy. Everybody else in your family may think that you've lost your mind and you're a part of the cult. But I got news for them. The king sought me out. Hallelujah! Oh my. Where is he? And grace went searching for you. Let me tell you this. The world will use you up and forget about you. The devil will use you up and then drop you to the curb and forget about you. But the grace of God, come on somebody. The grace of God, He can't forget you. He can't forget your name, for your name is engraved on the palm of His hands. He can't forget you. Brother, I feel like doing laps this morning. Where is He? David said, the king said unto him, where is He? Where is He? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, He's in the house of Micah and Lodavar. You've got to see this thought right here. For the word Lodavar means this, not a pasture. It's literally called a city east of Jordan River. The whole area is considered barren wasteland. This boy was living in a place of waste. He's living in a barren land. The literal meaning means Lodabar, the place of no bread. The word lo means no, and debar means pasture, which means no pasture, no word, no speaking. Woo-hoo. So they had no pasture. I mean pasture. And because they had no pastor, they had no speaking. And because there was no speaking, they had no words. This man is hiding in a desolate, barren wasteland. Come on, somebody. No flock. No shepherd. No real food to eat. Wasteland. Barren. No fruit of the Spirit. No joy. No peace. Come on, somebody. You know where he's at. No love. No joy. No peace. No forgiveness. No fruit of the Spirit. All you can do is sit around and look at your crippled condition. Day in and day out, you look about how bad you are, how sorry you are, how no good you are, because there's no food to eat. It's a barren wasteland. Before long, that crippleness overtakes everything else in your life to where all you focus on is the problems you got. What that crippleness does is you look at that crippleness as though you'll never be able to overcome it. Let me tell you why. It's because you're looking at your problem besides trying to find something that can help you overcome your problem. I'm not talking about just live with it. I'm talking about overcome with it. I'm not talking about putting up for a little while. I'm talking about overcoming that besetting sin in your heart. Amen. Look where he's at. There ain't no revival down there. There's no singing. There's no good gospel singing. There's no camp meeting atmosphere. There ain't nobody to encourage him. There ain't nobody to say you can make it. Amen. There's nobody there because it's a place where nobody wants to be at. It's barren. And David didn't sit on the throne and wait for Mephibosheth to come and call him out. And David didn't sit there and put all the obligation upon Mephibosheth because he realized Abraham can't keep this covenant. Abraham can't keep it. Amen. So Mephibosheth doesn't realize, but the king is remembering his words. Amen. Now notice, here he comes to a desolate, dark, empty, barren place. And I tell you, you didn't run to God either. God had to come looking for you. Adam wasn't hollering, God, where art thou? God was hollering to Adam, where art thou? You didn't pursue after God. God pursued after you. Come on, I'm talking about scriptural type. Let me give you some example. The prodigal son, he was down in the pig pen. Come on, somebody. Joseph was found in a pit. He'd been put there by his brothers. Amen. But he became exalted till he became the second in command. The boy, the prodigal son's found in the pig's pen. Here's Joseph found in the pit. That Samaritan woman was found at a well. Come on, somebody. And Jesus come to where she was at. For he said, I have need. I got need to go by Samaria. But if she wasn't trying to find him, he had need to find her. The day grace become amazing is when he found you. God knows where we're at. For David said, Psalms 23 and 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Now you gotta see this word follow. It means to be behind, to follow after, to pursue, run after, chase down, hunt down, and to go home, pursue adversely, aim eagerly to secure. Brother, let them run as hard as they want to run. Let them go as far as they want to go. Surely, goodness and mercy will chase you down. You got a son that's went wavered, let me tell you, surely goodness and mercy's falling after them. They won't listen to you. Mercy is following them. Mercy is hunting them down. But David, I just feel like I'm going to throw my hands up. I don't know what to do. That's what God's waiting on you to do. You can't save them. You can't give them the Holy Ghost. You can't give them an experience. God's got to chase them down. Hunt them down. Follow them. You realize, if you raised them, put them to the Word of God, it's only going to be so long until God will find them down in Lodabar somewhere. Hallelujah. He'll find them down by a hog's pen somewhere, brother, and God's grace will go find them. He'll pick them up, put his robe around them. Hallelujah. Hide where you think you can hide the best. He will find you behind an alcohol bottle. He will find you behind a drug addiction. Brother, because when you couldn't get to God, my God could still get to you. Amen. When I couldn't get to where he was, he left the ivory throne of eternity. He came down and become a man. Why? Because he came looking for me. Oh my. Are you with me? Then, chapter 9 verse 5, then King David said, David sent and fetched him out. Fetched him out. Out of the house of Michal the son of Amiel from Lodabar. The word fetched means to seize. Receive. Acquire. I love the next one. Buy. It means to bring, to marry, to take a wife, snatch, take away, take in hand, to take and carry along. It means to take from, take away, carry away, take them away. Because the king knows that you can't walk on your own. So the king's willing to come where you're at. and carry you up in his arms. And he's willing to carry you back to where you need to be at. We've heard the poem of the footprints on the sands of time. You realize there's one set of tracks when it comes to grace. It ain't grace plus your ability. It ain't grace plus how good you are. It's all because of what he did. He picked you up and carried you in his arms. He fetched you out. Brother, that sounds like grace to me. That's what we need to learn sometimes. We need to learn how to let God just carry us sometimes. Amen. Because when we're around the message, we begin to think that we know something and we can quote a few scriptures and quote a few quotes. We think that we know something. There's times that God don't want you depending on how well you can remember, how well you can quote, how much scripture you know. He wants to let you know, I carried you. I found you. I picked you up and I put you where you need to be. What is grace? When you can't do it by yourself, grace carries you through it. Is there anybody in this building that realizes that God fetched you out where you was? You realize God picked you up. God carried you. Brother, without Jesus Christ, where would you be at today? Come on, somebody. I want to tell you, I was headed to hell at 1,000 miles an hour. And Jesus interrupted my life. Where would you be had it not be for the King coming down and putting his arms around you? Brother, that makes me feel good all over. Brother, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what he's done for me. All because he reached down his hand. He fetched me out where I was at. Brother, if Jesus has fetched you out, it ought to make you praise God. It ought to make you want to scream out a battle cry. It ought to make you want to lift your hands and let him know, Lord, I can't do it without you. I have no ability on my own. I need you. And then we just said, well, yeah, I know we did. Brother, if you know what grace has done for you, that ought to push you past your quietness. That ought to take you out of your own skin. That ought to make you act different, unseemly, to know the grace of God got a hold of you and carried you back. Oh, glory be to God. Paul said it like this, 2 Corinthians 12:9. How can you do it, God? How can you do it? And Paul said, my grace is sufficient. Paul, but do you know how much of a task it's going to be? My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God can give us grace, but you have to accept that grace. Do you realize that? He can do everything he can to show you how much he loves you, preach to you and tell you how much he cares about you. But ultimately the decision is yours because you have to accept grace. You can't merit this. You can't buy this. You have to accept this. And that's why many people that cannot take it because they feel like they got to work to achieve something. We've got to do something to merit this. I got to do something to achieve this. You'll never be able to achieve it. When I first started preaching 16 years old, I remember I'd go out into the woods and I'd pray because I wanted to feel righteous. I wanted to feel worthy. I wanted to feel like I achieved something in God. And guess what? I never did make it. Prayed in the rain, prayed in the woods. But I never did find it. Because I had to realize it's not because of what I do. It's because of what Calvary purchased. David called for Mephibosheth, but Mephibosheth had to be willing to respond. Glory to God. Can I just get real just for a minute There's people around this message that has been preacher burnt. There's preachers that has been laity burnt. There is people, they get to the place where they have no idea that they ain't got no confidence in nobody. And they get to the same place where this boy is at. They get to a barren, desolate place and they don't know what to do. Because they realize they're human, made of clay, and they need somebody to carry them sometimes. Can I get real? We can come into this building sometimes and act like that we are holier than thou. But all in reality, we don't want nobody to know we got problems and we got trials and we got things we go through. Let me tell you something. You are made out of the same dirt that I am. Amen. And God made you knowing you would have needs. Why do you think he has attributes? Why would we need a healer if there wasn't going to be somebody to get sick? Why would you need a deliverer if somebody didn't need to be delivered? Just thank God you got one. If there's a false preacher, there's a true preacher. If there's a false laity, there's a true laity. Come on, somebody. If there's a backslidden lady, there's somebody standing on the Word of God today. You cannot sit and load a bar and sit and look at your problems and look at your crippleness the rest of your life because something happened to you 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 20 years. Praise the Lord. Don't give that devil the thrill of victory in your life. Because if you'll let him, he will sell you a lie. The King is sending you grace by this morning. Let him carry you a while. All that you is heavy laden, heavy burden, come unto me. I'll give you Jerusalem. I'll give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me. I care. I say it's time to abandon that old crippled mentality. That mentality, oh, you'll always have to be this way. And I guess I'll always have to look like this. And I guess I'll never get past this problem. I always have this sin. I guess I'll always live in this barren condition. I guess I'll always be this way. That's a lie. Because the King's asking you to come to the palace. The King's beckoning you this morning by the royal call. He said, Brother David, I can't. You may not be able to come. But grace is here to carry you. Notice verse 6. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Something deep within him remembered what you do when you approach royalty. What's going on? That train is slowing down. As it stops there with those that with spiritual amnesia, the train's slowing down and they're getting off. And all of a sudden, a little bit by little bit, things is coming back to his memory. He starts seeing the water tower. And I remember what I do when I get before a king. You bow down. David called this boy by name. He said, Mephibosheth. Terry. Tim. Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. David said unto him, fear not. Look at the words of David. Look at the words of David. Knowing what it means to come into the presence of royalty. Knowing you'd be scared to death. Thinking, oh man, I hope I do everything right. I hope I bow down right. I hope I don't trip on the way in. And David says, fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness, grace. I will show thee grace for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I'm going to restore thee all the land. I'm going to restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou hast eat bread at my table continually. Mephibosheth didn't physically earn this land. He didn't go out and sweat and get this, but because another had won the victory. Glory to God, David realized, I'm going to give you it all. And Mephibosheth, I didn't do nothing, but I'm going to accept it. And David lets him know, you're not going back to that old life ever again. You're not, glory, hallelujah, You're not going back to Lodabar no more. You've arrived at the palace. I said your days in Lodabar is done. Your days in barrenness is over. Your days with no pastor is over. Your days with no joy is over. Your days with no victory is over. Your days with no forgiveness is over. Glory to God. I made a covenant. And you're going to live here and rest here all the rest of your life. Where is he at? Back where he started. Glory to God! He's back in Jerusalem where he started at. Hallelujah! He left a place of depression for a place of peace. Think of it. He's telling him, this peace ain't just for the weekend. This peace ain't just for Sunday mornings. This peace just ain't on Wednesday night. You're going to live in the land of peace. Glory to God. You're going to live in the land of rest. You're going to live in this land. And when the devil tells you you ain't got none, remind him, I am from above Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, you have all this land in Ziba. He's going to take care of all that. Don't you worry about it. But as for you, you're going to feast at my table. Continually. Notice the words of Mephibosheth. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I've done a study on this dead dog. There's nothing more humiliating in the scripture than to be called a dog. And the king is not calling Mephibosheth a dog, but because of where he's been and what he's done, he is perceiving himself that he's worthless, useless. Dogs in the scripture was always an unclean animal. You realize prostitutes in the Bibles was called dogs. Think about what he's saying about himself. You realize, not just a dog, a dead dog, which means has no significance at all. Remember when Jezebel died, the dog ate her feet, ate her hands. Amen. Notice, he ate because of where she walked and what she touched. He ate her body. Amen. Remember the scripture when he fell, king fell, and he said, the dogs will lick up your blood. Amen? It's because they're so unclean. And this boy is looking at himself as, I'm so unclean, so unworthy. Even Goliath, when he was fighting David, you remember what he said? He said, am I a dog? Am I a dog coming to me with these things? You mean to come against me to send a dog up here to act like I'm some kind of a dog? Look what barrenness did to him. Look what living in this place did to him, military. Made him feel useless. Made him feel like his value is worthless. Understanding, there's nothing lower than to call yourself a dead dog. Amen. Scripturally, remember the Syrophoenician woman? Whenever Jesus was there, and Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Showing even in the scriptural days, they domestically made dogs house animals. Remember? She said, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. He's not considering himself worthy to eat bread from the master's table. Oh, goodness. Notice this crippleness had so affected his mind. He'd had so many imperfections for so long. He was blinded of who he really was. He's the grandson of a king. His blood, his royal blood. Before the fall happened in the beginning, oh God, he used to walk these floors. He used to play in these courts. He used to go to the courtyard and run and play. But he's forgotten it. But the longer he's around the right atmosphere, oh glory to God, the longer he sits around the king's palace, the longer he hears the king's voice, something began to spark in his mind. Friends, what must it have meant to him to hear the king tell him, you're not from Lodabar. You're from Jerusalem. You was born in Jerusalem. Notice what the king tells us week in and week out. You always was a son of God. You was a part of the mind of God, a thought of God. You was an elected part of God in the beginning. And you can't be the word at the end unless you was a thought in the beginning. Week in and week out, the king tells us who we are, where you come from, how that God has saved you, God has kept you, God has been with you. Get to the place sometimes we need to shake ourselves to remind ourselves where we're really from. He'd been out from the presence of the king so long. Hallelujah. You can forget who you are. As he begins to look around, something about that hall. I remember that hall. We used to play in that hall. I remember I used to put the shield on and then the sword in my hand. I remember I used to play in there. I remember I used to sit right here in this chair. I remember I used to be here before. Oh, glory. As we would say, I remember I used to have all kinds of joy. I remember I used to be so excited when the word would come forth. I used to couldn't wait till the church doors come open. I remember how the Spirit used to fall. Oh, I remember how I used to raise my hands. That don't have to be a memory. That can be reality. They used to tell me, oh my, we used to really have church. I mean, we used to really. Oh yeah, used to? Really? But he begins to look around. I remember. I used to have peace of mind. I remember. I used to be a son of God. But you can't used to be one. You either always was. And that day that you remember who you are, that day grace became amazing. Oh, glory to God. When you recognize what you was always born to be, you realize, friends, we're born to be the children of the king, but sin dethroned us. But God has restored our position back. You wasn't born to be a drug addict. You wasn't born to be an alcoholic. You wasn't born just to be religious. Hallelujah! You was born to live in Jerusalem. Born to be a son or daughter of God. Born to rule. Born to overcome. Then the king called to Ziba and Saul's servants unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul. Isn't it amazing? Here Mephibosheth says, I'm a dead dog. And it's though the king never even heard him. He never paid it any attention. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I can't make it. Lord, I can't do it. God just keeps going on right like he never even said it. He never even paid any attention to him. He acted like it was just words that come out of his mouth, like he used to talk about Lodabar, as though it didn't even mean nothing. And the king says, thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. This ain't some peasant saying this. This is the king saying this. He's telling him, you've got an inheritance and I'm going to restore your inheritance back to you. Not only your inheritance is coming back, I'm restoring your position back in the palace. That's what grace did for me. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Grace didn't make you a servant. It made you recognize you're a son. He wasn't just given a position. He was one of the king's sons. The benefits for being the son of a king. He has his own place. Just prepare for him at the master's table. Verse 13, and Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat continually at the king's table. And was lame on both his feet. Can you imagine? David and his family sits down at the table. They're there. The table's spread and ready. He looks around. I wonder where Mephibosheth is. About that time, they hear something coming. Mephibosheth comes in. And he looks and there's a name card with his name on it. There's a seat made just for him. And nobody else can take this seat. Because it belongs to this son. Nobody else can take his place. And nobody can take your place. Do you realize you've got a place at the king's table? God has given us a place. You believe that? Notice influence. And to know now, not we will be, but we now, but now we are lifted up in heavenly, in Christ Jesus, sitting with our King, already seated positionally with Him. Oh, how we thank Thee for this confidence we have in Him. His promise is knowing that it can never fail. It's always true. Let our music players come. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine sitting at the king's table? You've got your own place at the king's table. What will it be, brother and sister, when you and I come to the wedding supper? There's a seat just for you. It's got your name on it. Just for you. And you come in and you sit down at the king's table. And you look over to your right. Oh God. Oh Lord. Who are you? I'm Paul. I'm sitting beside Paul. Paul, you don't know. You don't know what your words has meant to me. You don't know how many times I felt like giving up. I'd open up the Bible and I'd read something like, my grace is sufficient, Paul. What it meant to me. I don't know if I could have made it if I wouldn't have had your writings. Paul. Paul. Who are you? Who are you? My name's William Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. I'm sitting beside Brother Branham.
Think about it.
Brother Branham, I love you so much. When I'd feel like all hope was gone and I was so distressed and so despaired, I'd pick up one of your tapes and push play. And it seems like it'd drive those spirits away from me. You don't know how many times I would sit on the computer and click quote after quote, listening to things you would say. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, my. I'm at the king's table. I'm at the king's table. About that time you hear somebody, they come running in. They run in and they sit down right in front of you. Well, hello. Who are you? My name is Mephibosheth. I read about you. But you was lame from your feet. But let me tell you something. I'm not lame anymore. That curse of sin is gone from me. I'm not lame anymore. There will sit at that table, as I read this morning. My, if you want to have a good time, just go look it up, Wedding Supper. But remember, said that table about thousands of miles long. He said the battle-scarred soldiers will sit at that table. Brother, you'll sit at that table. Somebody from the ox age will look over at you and say, what's your name? My name's so-and-so. Oh, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Somebody, maybe from China or Africa, will sit across from Brother Harry. They'll say, what's your name? My name's Harry Reagan. Oh, brother, you don't know how many times I listened to your music. What it done to me to hear y'all worship and rejoice. What's your name? What's your name? My name's Lyndall Yance. Oh, Brother Yance. When you wrote that song, there'll be another spring. You don't know how many days I felt like quitting and I'd put that song on. There'll be another spring. I felt like there was hope. I felt like there was hope. What's your name? Terry Ormo, Brother Terry. Sometimes you'd preach a sermon, sometimes, oh my, how the word would come forth and how we so enjoyed it. Brother Ram said, we'll sit at that table 1,000 miles long. Skip down to At Thy Words 53. What a wonderful time to think that when all the battles are all over, we're sitting around that great wedding supper. Won't it be wonderful? I'll look across that table. Happen to see sitting across there, Brother Wills, look at the different ones I hear. Ones that was at the Connersville meeting. You know, I kind of believe that we just have to cry just a little bit. We'll have to cry a little bit. Don't you think so? When I reach across that table and I see it all down through there, them old battle-scarred veterans bowed across the table holding one another's hands, weeping for joy. Won't that be wonderful? I could hear the announcement of silver, a blast of trumpets. And out comes the king. Out comes the king in his beauty, his majestic robes all around him, walking down along that table. Oh my. He'll take his own hand and come to where you're at. When those tears are streaming down your face, those nail-scarred hands, will wipe down your cheek to wipe those tears away. Don't cry no more. You've made it to Jerusalem. You've made it. He'll wipe the tears out of our eyes and say, don't cry now. It's all over. It's all over. Let's bow our hearts. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine what that will be when you sit at that table? That's thousands of miles long. The king comes by where you're at, where you're sitting at, where your placemat is. He'll come by and wipe the tears from your eyes. As Brother Bram said, no doubt we'll be looking around wondering who made it, who missed it, who made it, who missed it. And however he does it, he wipes those tears from our eyes. And when he's wiping those tears away, he's almost like he's wiping the memories away of who didn't make it. To wipe her sad days away. To let her know her warfare is accomplished. Oh, brothers and sisters. As I sat this morning there, read through these quotes, I cried like a baby thinking, God, I don't want to miss this. Lord, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to go through, Lord, whatever trials, I don't want to miss this no matter what. As I sat there and I began to think, as I heard my family getting around, I thought, God, please, I want my children to be there. I want my wife to be there. I want my family to be there. I don't want nobody to miss it. Oh God, whatever I got to do, whatever has to happen, please, Lord, don't let us miss it. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. Please, Lord, please, whatever I got to do. Oh God. Lord Jesus, we are humbled by your presence this morning. That great King of eternity is right here in this building this morning. He's heard our response to the message this morning. Oh God. Lord, we believe that you see our hearts, Lord, as they cry this morning. So desperately longing to be able to be a part of the ceremonies of that day. Then, Lord, it'll be worth it. We set a cross, Lord, all those that overcame down through the ages. They're the believers, the bride of the end time that actually took the rapture. Something that each one had longed for, to be alive and remain. To know that we're living in that day. We have that opportunity as your children to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. No doubt, we will never forget the day that grace became amazing to us. We'll never forget it. Oh Lord, we'll never forget how that you've kept us. We so long for it, Lord. If we can't say the right words, I pray, Lord, search our hearts this morning. Search our desires. Search everything about us. May you grant it this morning, Father. Oh, great King, as your children this morning, we want to let you know our longing, our heart is to be back where we belong at. I pray, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to lay aside anything that would beset us to keep us from being able to make it. Help us to lay aside all to make sure that we're there at that day. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Can we stand to our feet? What a mighty God Jesus is, Brother Harry. I can imagine each one as we've seen together, talking about Him. We'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll tell Him, Lord, what a mighty God you are. Because of your grace, I'm here today. Can you imagine as we begin to sing out one with another, Lord, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. Won't you just help Him say it?
Jesus,
let your voice be heard this morning.
What a mighty God Jesus is. People bow before you. My God.
one night while on life's raging sea. It looked as if I would suffer defeat. In the blackness of night, closed off the light, my heart sank with me. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. Gone. I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. My King came looking for me. He made a way. There was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far
was near. You rescued my soul. Calmed all my fear. I'm safe from all harm. Since I met the one who came looking for me. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior call to me. Oh, he said, come to me, repenting of all your sins, relenting, and I will lead you out where you
this building this morning while I tell him about his amazing grace. Amazing grace. Forever in your mind, it'll be etched the day that grace became amazing to you. You got up from the altar, wherever you was at, outside in the woods, wherever you was at, you got up and your desire was to be different. You said, where did that come from? Where did that desire come from? The devil didn't give it to you. You begin to walk with him and talk with him. And forever you remember that day grace became amazing.
Amazing grace. Yes, how sweet the sound.
What did it do for you?
I said, say,
that palace.
When we have been there,
oh Lord, it does. Sunny
Tommy can say you love him with all your heart. You leave here this weekend. He starts telling you you won't make it. You're not a part of it. You never was a part of it. You let him know, I've got my own seat at the King's table. Hallelujah. And ain't nobody can take my place. Somebody hurt you. Somebody done you wrong. You feel bad, don't know how you're going to get over it. Let me tell you how you're going to. That amazing grace that brought you in. I guarantee he'll take us the rest of the way through. The day grace became amazing. Oh, hadn't it been good to be here this morning? He's in the house. Death has to flee. He's in the... We're going to sing this just while we're being dismissed this morning. Certainly appreciate you. God bless you. For all of you that has... so made me and my family welcome here at this church. I want to tell you, I appreciate you. You know who you are. I can't mention all of you, but so many ones. Brother Donnie asked me the other day, he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? I'm home, man. And you ain't running me off. Amen. I love him with all my heart. Appreciate his grace. Appreciate his mercy. Certainly appreciate you. Here in a couple weeks, I'm going to be leaving for about almost 20 days. I'm going to be going to Africa now for a while. Certainly pray for my family while I'm gone. I'm going to be gone a long time, but pray for us, Lord. Give us some tremendous meetings while we're down there. Going to be leaving, I think it's the week after next, something like that. Pray for us, Lord. Be with us. Give us strength. Going to be a long time. I don't think I've ever been away from my family this long. So pray for them, the Lord, to comfort them, keep them. You always worry about them when you're gone. Amen. We need that amazing grace every day we live. Amen. Brother Harry, sing it. Let the devil know we're here this morning. Let the devil know you was at church. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Little girl was lying there.
Amen.
People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. Touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me, so all the world can see.
Since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Jesus.